This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Saturday, May 25th. And let me tell you, this is going to be the quickest review that I've ever done here on the channel, especially for the live streams, because I have an interview in about 24 minutes that I have to do. It has been an insane day today, everyone. Woke up, did Busted Open for 3 hours, finished that, did freaking, God, what did I watch? King and Queen of the Ring, watched that for a few hours, then did the review for that, then watched AEW Collision, and now I'm here to talk about that, and I have an interview right afterwards, and then I have to get ready because I am driving out to Las Vegas tomorrow for Double or Nothing, attending Double or Nothing, and then driving back home on top of that, uploading content and getting stuff out. So that is why today is going to be a quick interview. So I hope you guys don't mind. So we'll make sure to get to the important stuff on this show. First and foremost, as always, kicking things off with Sheldon Jackson, who gifted 5 DWO memberships. As always, Sheldon, I appreciate you and thank you so much for always making each and every stream very, very special. So let's get to it. I want to start off by talking about the biggest stories from today's show. Given that this was the Collision episode, heading into Double or Nothing, I felt like they did a pretty good job with not just the matches, because we did get a couple of good matches. We had a fun main event, but I thought they did a good job with weaving in a bunch of little video packages from Tony Storm, from Will Ospreay, from Adam Copeland. All of these little video packages that sort of just hyped you up a little bit more for the pay-per-view. But I think for the most part, a lot of people are already sold on the pay-per-view. And if you're not sold on the pay-per-view, I'm not necessarily too sure that this episode convinced you if you weren't already sold for the pay-per-view. So again, I think the people that were already invested were invested. But for the most part, this was a decent episode of Collision. It sort of felt like a pre-show. It felt like a pre-show for Double or Nothing, which I guess is a good thing considering we're headed into Double or Nothing, but I can't wait for Collision to really start to get its own solid foundation again, to get its own personality, because that is how Collision started. When Collision started, it felt like it had its own personality. And right now, I sort of feel like Collision is in the phase of finding itself once again. So I do hope that Collision does find what works for Collision. But let's get to the biggest stories. I want to kick things off with something that I absolutely loved. And that, my friends, is the Willow Nightingale promo. We need to talk about this because when you think back, think about this, honestly, how many women did you often see on AEW go out in the middle of the ring and actually have promo time? It's been a while, guys. It has truly been a while since we've had the women. And please, I know we've had the contract signing segments and stuff like that, but before this particular feud, really think about how often we were actually seeing the women go out there and cut promos in the ring, especially a 6-minute promo. It has been forever, I feel, since we get that. And even if we did, it's been so sporadic that when it does happen, you're looking at it and you're going, wait, she's getting all of this time to cut this promo in ring. And so that was something that within itself, just the promo, just her standing by herself as champion, getting the opportunity to talk to the people was a huge win. But here's the other thing. So first, I want to say that getting to see Willow's growth has been tremendous because she literally went from girl with potential to all of a sudden like, oh, everybody really likes Willow. But when it comes to the promo work specifically, I think she's done like 5, maybe 6 promos now. They've all been a little bit different. Some are just, some are her and Mercedes. Some were backstage, some were on the stage. So they've sort of mixed it up. She's had a lot of different variations of her promos, but this one felt like the main event to me, because this was, and this is aside from the contract signing, because the contract signing, nothing's going to top that. But Willow being there by herself in center stage in the ring, getting to directly speak to the camera for several minutes. And get this, not once did she lose the crowd. How many times don't you see people go out there and literally get eaten alive by the crowd? No, Willow Nightingale had the crowd. They had the crowd chanting how much they like loved Willow Nightingale. She is probably one of their top baby faces on AEW. It's kind of crazy to see how much she has grown and how more confident she's gotten in her promos. Like, I remember from the beginning, it was like, oh, damn, I didn't know Willow had this in her, to where now I'm expecting Willow to say the things that she says. And so I had noticed already that Willow was obviously over. Anybody with eyes and ears and everything that's watching the programming can tell. However, in this particular promo, it was a lot more noticeable because, again, it was just her, the microphone, and the moment. And this was good. It was very simple. It was just her going out there and talking about, because on Rampage, I'm so glad they showed the replay for this because I hadn't seen it. On Rampage, her and Mercedes had like a little brawl. And so she goes out there. She addresses Mercedes. She even talks about how she almost got paralyzed at one point several years ago with a neck injury that she had. She talks about how she is going to keep her title. She is going to continue being the face of TBS and all of this stuff. And what I liked about this was that I know we're all heading into this going, oh, Mercedes is winning. But I know that based on Willow's performances the last couple of weeks, people are kind of like, damn, I wouldn't mind it if Willow actually won. And I think she is persuading people in that sense. I loved it. She was like, I'm going to wreck Mercedes. What did she say? Oh, yeah. She said, I am going to make her long for the days when she was on the shelf. And I thought that was really good. So honestly, bravo. One of my favorite segments here was with Willow Nightingale. We got Corey MacArthur here, DWO member for 11 months, who says, what's good all day with Denise? Hashtag action packed. It has been insane today, guys. It really has. I'm hoping I still have a voice by tomorrow. Rafael Garcia says, you're a liar. If you saw the Lucha Kids and the Icebox where your heart used to be, didn't mount a little bit. Willow is doing great work. Good collision. Let me tell you, man, I love seeing the Lucha Brothers, especially when they come out with the kids. It's really freaking cute. Very, very cute. And we'll talk about the Lucha Brothers. Actually, we'll talk about them right now since Rafael Garcia brought them up. So let me bring up really quickly. There's only so much to say. There really isn't that much. It was Lucha Brothers versus the Guns. It was more of a fast-paced match than what we had seen prior on tonight's card. Fear Factor for the win. They kept it short, but it was sweet. Lucha Brothers for the win. I'm not expecting them to win tomorrow at Double or Nothing. So again, not too much to really add to there. But thank you so much to Rafael Garcia for that super chat. Appreciate it, man. We got everybody, by the way, putting over Willow's promos here in the chat. So awesome to see that. All right, so that was literally my favorite thing on the show. Now, the second thing that I want to get to, because I saw a lot of people mentioning it in the comments, and so I know it's a hot topic, and that is Adam Copeland's promo, guys. So as we know, this Wednesday, we saw that big bad, my God, I keep wanting to say bad blood. My God, this happened to me earlier on Busted Open. I kept saying bad blood instead of bloodbath. Oh my God, it's the Taylor Swift Swiftie in me. I just can't not say bad blood. It just comes out. All right, so freaking bloodbath. It kills me, guys. It kills me. All right, so the bloodbath. We all know that went down on Wednesday, and things have gotten a lot more darker, a lot more sinister between Adam and Malakai, with Malakai taking his ring, the blood. And then today, we had a match. We had a four-way tag team match, by the way. And this was Brody King, Buddy Matthews versus the Gates of Agony versus the Infantry versus the Acclaimed. Very fun tag team match. Some really cool moments in there. Buddy King doing a dive to the outside to all the guys was pretty cool. But it was after this match that we got a promo from Adam Copeland in which he teased forming the House of Blood. So he didn't say the Brood or anything like that. And I know that's what everybody's thinking because that is what everybody's mind goes to given Adam Copeland's history, but he basically teased sort of starting the House of Blood, and he said something, and I was a little confused by this, but he said something along the lines of taking Malakai Black's guys, and I'm talking about Brody King and Buddy Matthews, so I'm like, where is he going with this? But it seems like this was the beginning, or rather the biggest hint that we've gotten that maybe Adam Copeland might be starting his own little faction. I don't know if that's really what was intended here or if he just said that for shits and giggles headed into this match. But let me tell you, that definitely caught my attention there. And I think that that would be something cool to see in AEW, especially because we don't really have that many factions right now in AEW. We have the Don Callis family. We have them. We have the Learning Tree, which is a faction of two right now. So I don't even think you can consider that a faction. I think you at least need to have three or more people to consider it a faction. And then who else do we got? I mean, of course, you have the Elites. They're the main ones. I can't even say that, even though they are legitimately a faction, they are the Elite. So they feel like a little bit above that. But again, there really aren't too many of them. So we can definitely see that becoming a thing. Again, don't know if that's going to happen, but Adam Copeland basically closes off this promo with a really good line where he says, when you see evil in a man's eyes, it's already too late. I felt stupid while I was listening to this promo because when Adam Copeland was like, when you see evil in a man's eyes, my dumbass was like, you run, you run. And then he goes, it's already too late. And I was like, damn, there goes my writing job. anyways, so just a teaser there of what can possibly happen. I think they have done in the last like 72 hours, maybe even more than 72 hours. You know what? I'm going to say the last week. In the last week, they have truly done a wonderful job with Adam Copeland and Malakai Black in terms of just making this a story that you actually care about now heading into the show, because you're curious about Adam Copeland's next steps. You're curious about whether or not Malakai Black is actually going to get the win, what creepy shit we're going to be seeing since it's gotten really dark here. Given that it's a cool stipulation with the barbed wire steel cage, I think we can expect some violence in there. We know Adam Copeland is definitely not someone to shy away from the violence. So yeah, there's a lot to get excited about that. So we will see. All right. Oh, thank you, by the way, Eggsy. I forgot the Blackpool Combat Club. Jesus, Denise, how do you forget the BCC? You know what it is? You want to know I forgot the BCC? Nah, I don't really know why I forgot the BCC. I think it's because when we're heading into example for the Elite versus Team AEW, it's Brian Danielson out there with FTR and Darby Allin. Those are not members of the Blackpool Combat Club. So I sometimes just forget that there's still a faction, even though we're seeing some of these guys pair up still. But anyways, that was one of the other big parts that we got on today's episode. So the other thing that we got, it was more so a surprise, and this was unexpected as well. So we had a match between Lance Archer and The Righteous versus Claudio, Daniel Garcia, and a mystery partner. That mystery partner ended up being none other than the ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi. And dude, what a surprise for the people that went to Collision in Las Vegas. Now, I'm going to be real with you, with everybody. I have sort of always regretted going to the Collisions before the pay-per-views, because they're usually not good. And before you hate me, I've sat through those shows and I kept telling myself, Denise, do not come back to the Collisions before the pay-per-views. I kept telling myself that all the time. And I will say this one felt a lot more fun than the previous ones that they've done before pay-per-views. And I feel like Hiroshi Tanahashi was a big reward for those that actually went to the show, because it's not every day that you see Tanahashi. And he goes out there. And this was really, honestly, this was a house show match. I don't know how else to explain it. This was a house show match. It was fun, but it's not really moving too much forward, you know? It's like, oh, cool. We got to see a lot of the performers we like. Nice. We got a surprise. Nice. Is it really going anywhere? Not really. But they're obviously starting to remind people that, hey, Forbidden Door is coming up. What is it? Next month? We're going to be having Forbidden Door. And so we're starting to get that ball rolling and bringing, obviously, the president, Hiroshi Tanahashi. That is definitely a way to get the ball rolling and remind people, hey, after Double or Nothing, we're going to start cooking and heading towards Forbidden Door. So again, really not too much to say on that, but that's pretty much what it was. So we got a couple of super chats here. This is from Alexander Fitzgerald, who says, hear me out. If the house joins Adam Copeland, the new group should be called the Adams Family. Alexander, stop it. Stop it. Okay, you win super chat of the freaking day, man. You know what? You win super chat of the week, bro, because that's actually really freaking good. You should tweet that. You'd probably get yourself a hit tweet right there, man. Alexander, thank you so much for that super chat, man. We got Corey MacArthur here, who says, WWE and AEW giving us good stuff. BJ's meetup tomorrow with Righteous Reg hosting the sponsored by Blue Chew. Can't wait for Double or Nothing. AEW has given three good go home shows. You know, it's funny. Reg was at the show already. So he got to Vegas super freaking early. Dude's been partying it up, man. He was at freaking Dynamite. He was at Collision today. And he's going to be at Double or Nothing tomorrow. Out there freaking living the good life, Reg. That's why he's hosting a party at BJ's, because he wants to keep living the good life. Good thing he's not here to hear that. Corey, thank you so much for the generous super chat, man. All right, guys, I got a couple more minutes, so I want to get to Jon Moxley and Don Callis. So this is what opened up the show. And I have some mixed feelings about this. Like, it was good because Don Callis gets a lot of heat, right? Like, Don Callis, people boo him. It's fun to see him get booed. We like to be part of that. Also, very happy that the Las Vegas crowd was way better than the Bakersfield crowd. So it's giving me hope for tomorrow, because we do not want a repeat of what happened at last year's Double or Nothing. So anyways, with this Jon Moxley, Don Callis segment, it was basically Don Callis spewing a bunch of BS to Jon Moxley, and Jon just standing there fed up, man. He had that face of having to listen to sad Twitter users rant at you about shit. That is literally the face Jon Moxley had listening to Don Callis talk. And Don Callis basically brings up the time that he hurt him and got him that slash on his freaking forehead. And he talks about how he thinks about Jon Moxley every day of his life because of that. And then he even tried to compare himself to Jon Moxley, and everybody's like, dude, really? You're out here trying to compare yourself to Jon Moxley, saying they're a similar person? Whatever, all this BS that we're hearing, you know what it is. It's Don Callis being Don Callis. And this all leads to Konosuke Takeshita attacking Jon Moxley from behind. And at first I thought, oh, that was kind of weak, but they ended it really good. And the way they did that was he literally put Moxley's arm through a chair and then stomped on it. So, hey guys, that might play a real big part into their match tomorrow. And remember, tomorrow's match is an eliminator match. It's not a title match. It's an eliminator match. Now, my prediction was that Jon Moxley was still going to win the Eliminator match. However, coming off of the angle that they did today, it's got me thinking that maybe, just maybe, we might actually see Konosuke Takeshita get the win. I would not hate that at all. I would actually love that. But then again, it's just an Eliminator match. So we would have to wait again to see that match. And if we saw, then Konosuke Takeshita defeat Jon Moxley would be awesome. But that's probably not going to happen, or at least I have no idea. So it could happen, but I have no idea. So either way, that moment that we saw today is most likely playing a big part in tomorrow's match. So now I'm kind of second guessing my prediction, and I'm feeling like I'm starting to lean a little bit more towards Takeshita possibly pulling one over Moxley. But then again, we know that Moxley's been through hell and back and has been through far worse things. All right, guys, I got a couple more minutes because, again, I have an interview I have to go do. So I want to go ahead and just touch on a couple more things before I wrap up the show. Apologies for this being a faster stream. But Will Ospreay had a promo, BTW. Check out that interview that I did with Will. And basically, this was they posted it on Twitter, so you might have seen it on there, but this was just a really good promo. Him being pissed, being mad, being bloody because of the beatdown that he got from Roderick Strong in the Undisputed Kingdom. And it's funny because Will Ospreay talked about promos and feeling like he's not that good at promos, or feeling like he's trying to get good at promos and he doesn't feel like he's there yet. I'm just going to say it. I feel like Will Ospreay is far more along and his promo work than he might think. I think he's doing so much better than he gives himself credit for, because it is very freaking hard to go out there, show so much personality, not sound scripted, and get your point across the way that Will does, while also still keeping and staying true to your identity. So I thought Will Ospreay's been doing good with the promo, so that was another thing. They also had a video package that I really enjoyed for Anarchy in the Arena. And the good thing about the video package that they did was that it was from the perspective of the EVPs, and they did it like a political campaign. You know, those political commercials that are trashing, you know, one president's trashing the other president, one senator's trashing the other senator. That's essentially what the EVPs did, where they went out there and they were showing all this B-roll of them being so helpful and so kind and helping out the crew at AEW. We all know it's BS, but anyways, it was very funny. So I liked that angle of making it seem like it was a political thing. Quick squash for Kyle O'Reilly. He wins via submission in a very quick match. That was another thing that went down. And the last thing that I want to talk, we still got two more things to get into. Shit. All right. So main event, Bryan Danielson and FTR versus Satnam, Lethal, and Jeff Jarrett. So we closed out with this. There was some good moments. I'm sitting here honestly astonished by the fact that we have gotten two back-to-back good matches with Satnam Singh and Bryan Danielson. Of course, this was a multi-man match, but still, the fact that they're having some fun in there together, it's sick. It's maddening, but I love it. My favorite part in this match is actually Satnam Singh choking, I think it was Dax. Yeah, it was Dax. Choking Dax like a basketball. And if you missed it, go back and watch it. Dude is just, he's dribbling him. He's dribbling him like a ball, but by the freaking throat. It's so funny. If you caught that, I hope you guys did, because that was a good moment. But Bryan nearly kills Double J with all of his yes kicks and ends up getting the win for his team. So a fun, lively match that was followed by a very passionate promo from FTR, because as you know, they're representing AEW in this Anarchy in the Arena. So they basically just put over why they love to work in AEW. All right, guys, final thing to get into, Mariah May versus Layla Hirsch. This match was actually pretty sick. I'm not even gonna lie. Mariah May went in there and pretty much finished off Layla Hirsch very well, but it was entertaining. At one point, she literally puts her boobs in Layla's face, and Layla's just there like, you know, doing the thing, and Mariah gets her with a headbutt, gets her with a pump kick, gets the victory. I loved this match. It was so brief, but it was probably, even though the main event was really fun, and I also loved, I love the tag team matches too, the Lucha Brothers versus the Guns, that was good too, but my favorite match was Layla Hirsch versus Mariah May today, because it was short, but I didn't feel like I needed it to be longer. Like, they made it all nice and compact. So I really enjoyed that for what it was. Alrighty, everyone. I'm so sorry that this was a quicker podcast for AW Collision. However, I do have to go. I have an interview that I'm really excited about. I want to thank Victor Botino for sending in this very generous super chat saying just because. I appreciate you so very much for doing that. Thank you. And thank you to everybody who tuned in to today's post show. And anyways, I'm doing an interview with someone you guys all know, and that is happening in 2 minutes. So I'm going to do that, and it'll probably be up in the next couple of days. So keep an eye out for that. Alrighty, everyone, have an awesome weekend, and Reg and I will be back here on Monday to chat AEW Double or Nothing. Check out my King and Queen of the Ring review here on the channel, and I'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.